Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Q2 FY23 earnings conference call of Patanjali Foods, hosted by Antique Stock Broking. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Dhiraj Mistry from Antique Stock Broking. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Good morning, all, and welcome to the call. First of all, I would like to thank the management of Patanjali to allow us to host the call. So we have with us Mr. Sanjeev Asthana, CEO, Mr. Kumar Rajesh, CFO, and Mr. Chintan Kotak, Investor Relations. Without further ado, I would like to hand over the call to the management for their opening remarks. Thank you.
Thank you very much, and good morning to everyone who's joined the call. I will give a brief summary of how the quarter two results were, some of the main highlights, and where we stand in the business today. So broadly, quarter two was, you know, we had a revenue of 8,500 crores. We had an EBITDA of about 205 crores and a PAT of 112 crores. This breakup, broadly, some of the big businesses, I'll speak about. In the oil and vanaspati, we had 5,900 crores of... I'm just rounding off the numbers. You have all the numbers. 5,900 crores of revenue. We had a negative EBITDA of 450 crores, which is about 7.60%. In the foods business, we clocked 2,400 crores, which was very substantial uptick. This was largely driven by, you know, one big factor that, you know, the foods business from Patanjali Ayurved, which got integrated from first of July, came into our fold, on which we did about 1,600 crores of revenue. We had an EBITDA of 460 crores, and we had a margin construct of 28.8% on this. Nutraceuticals also was a big uptick. We did 400 crores of revenue, 140 crores of EBITDA, about 35% margin. And then, of course, we had other businesses like biscuits and consumer business, et cetera. So that rounded off to 2,400 crores, 620 plus crores of EBITDA margin, and about 25% margin on EBITDA. Then it was followed by some of the other businesses like extraction and wind. I'll focus my energy on two main businesses for this call. The main call clearly is, you know, on the related to the edible oils, and I wanted to take a couple of minutes to walk you through the external circumstances and what exactly happened in terms of why, you know, our EBITDA fell to 450 crores, you know, versus the previous quarters and the run rate what we've been having earlier. So two things happened in terms of quick one on the macros. Indonesia had announced a ban on palm oil exports in the early parts of the second quarter. And prior to that as well, there was a lot of rumors which were flying around, which basically meant that the prices went and shot through the roof, you know. So palm, for example, became $1,350 a ton, CNF delivered India. Likewise, this Russia-Ukraine war, which was raging at the time, the soya prices went up to $1,500 a ton. And the spread between palm and soya, which typically at that time was $175, and I'll talk a bit how that changed and the dynamic between the two changed. In between, what we realized was that the markets were, you know, when this volatility started to sort of kick in and all the prices were shooting up, it created a massive, you know, amount of fear on the demand side, both in India and when China declared suddenly this whole zero COVID tolerance policy as well. So with the result that the two largest importers of edible oils in the world, suddenly you felt that the demand started to go down and the market start was continuously on an uplift. So this was one big macro factor which started to impact while the prices went up at that time. But subsequent to that, what happened was that Indonesia suddenly lifted the ban on the palm oil. The the one big change happened was that the grain corridor opened up between Russia and Ukraine. The demand sort of collapse, as I mentioned, started to happen. And the market started to tank. In between also, we saw the dollar sort of equation between dollar and rupee. The dollar continued to strengthen. The Malaysian ringgit versus the dollar fell almost 5.5%. So everything, it was a perfect storm why the prices from where they went, suddenly they collapsed. So with the result on 30th of September, the 30th June I spoke and 30th September end quarter, the prices of palm oil fell from $1,350 to $840, the almost 38,000 rupees a ton. Soya oil fell from $1,525 to $1,200. Huge drop it witnessed, 25,000 rupees a ton. And sun oil collapsed by almost 40,000 rupees a ton. So all this meant that suddenly at two levels, that if I were to evaluate, give the numbers on specifics, so about 250 crores, we had 200 crores of losses which were booked, during the quarter. Because every time you invoice and sell, you book the loss. And we had about 250 crores, which is on the mark-to-market basis at the end of September quarter. Now, as you know, that mark-to-market includes everything, all the purchase contracts that are in the books. It includes all the vessels that are afloat and the physical inventory that you carry. And this exactly kind of, transpired for these losses to be taken in the books. Post that, I just wanted to share that as we speak on 10th of November, the prices from $840 have recovered to $1,015. They've moved up almost 18 to 20% across the board. But just to share, the prices of soya oil have moved up from $1,200 to $1,485, and likewise for sun also, it has gone up by almost nearly $300. So the idea, the point is that, the mark-to-market losses that were incurred on a particular date on 30th September, very substantial part of that and more than the losses that were incurred have been recovered in the mark-to-market as we speak today. And we've taken multiple steps on, how do we sort of avoid this kind of volatility, because many a times, these external factors will continue to remain. The war is not yet over. The China COVID policy continues to be on the horizon. The world food inflation, as we all know, the crops as they're evolving and building up, like the South American soya crop is still in the build-up mode now. So that will get into the weather market in Chicago. So there are a lot of factors which are out there which could still be changing, but we have taken multiple steps to manage it and manage it effectively now. So, for example, that we are continuously churning our positions, which means that shorter lead time, ensuring that we continuously selling at all points of time and, are not subject to any major changes in the marketplace. We have increased our hedges on both BMD and Chicago, for the palm oil at BMD and Chicago for the soya oil. Sunflower oil, we are ensuring that we are consistently, moving the positions. And so some of the steps, so these are the steps we have taken, and we are pretty confident that we should be in a better position to be able to deal with this change as it is occurring in the marketplace, and should be able to maintain the momentum that we had in the earlier quarters. On the food business, I'll take a minute, and then we can open it up for the question answer. On the food business, we had very good overall margins. We had very good sales momentum. This was of course aided by sort of two things. One is that we had acquired in the food business afresh into the company, so that's why the overall food business portfolio shot up to 2,400 crores. There was a big push in terms of the new channels which were opened up for sales, which we continued sort of push and drive towards. we maintained a very healthy EBITDA margin at the back of high demand and the ability to price on the price to the consumers. They gave us very good good margins also. And likewise, the steps that we have started taking for nutraceuticals also, have come to the fruition where we are consistently selling. We had a huge growth in sales, very healthy profitability. And while there might be some tapering off in terms of the sales and the margins, but our expectation is that we'll continue taking all the right steps as we take it forward and to drive, this entire business and sales. Excuse me. So the whole idea being that, taking the company back to consistent run rate of revenues and margins is a major effort which we have. There are learnings and there are, discoveries as to how ought it to be done. We are taking all the necessary steps to make sure that the company gets back to the regular bottom line driven numbers. And also that we maintain a healthy run rate on the revenue side. So with this, I will stop my communication. I can go on for oil palm and the other businesses, the steps that we've taken. But suffice it to say that, under execution, this is happening. We are taking all the steps, especially in Northeast and South of India, in Andhra and Telangana. We're working quite actively in pushing the Nutrela, both the oil side and the Nutrella buddy side. We're adding new products to it, categories as we have said, and consistently that part is working on. And the rest of the company is on course in terms of performance. I will stop my, communication from here and happy to answer any question that you have. Mr. Kumar Rajesh is there on the call as well. So anything that you may have, we'll be happy to answer those.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may please press star and one on their touchtone phone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. We have the first question from the line of Ankush Agarwal from Soch Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi sir. Thank you for taking my question. Firstly, just a few numbers. Just maybe I heard it wrong. You said 1600 crores of food business came from the recently acquired Patanjali Foods business. Is that right?
Yes.
And 400 crores for nutraceuticals.
Yes.
Yeah. So in that case, sir, as a base business has degrown or what? Because if that the numbers you are saying, that means we have done around 399 crores in the existing business, which was last year, same quarter was 700 crores.
See, just I am answering your question. The food segment, which we have been got transferred from the Patanjali Ayurved Limited, makes a turnover of 1241 crores in this quarter. And honey and atta previously we have we took over from the pair. That makes a revenue of 192 crores. The traditional soya bari and TSP made a revenue of 169 crores. So these all equivalent to 1600 crores. Hello? And 400 is nutraceutical. Biscuit makes a 335. Biscuit, breakfast cereals and noodles makes a 354 crores. So these all together makes a 2,399 crores of revenue.
Okay. So sir, how sustainable is this number, especially in terms of margin? Because when we acquired Patanjali's food business, that time we were talking about 1,200 crores kind of quarterly run rate, but now we are almost touching 2,400 crores. So,
No, 2,400 crores includes food segments and others. Food segment, others includes nutraceutical, some part of oleochemicals and soap noodles also, which is 43 crores. But food business is
including nutraceuticals. So your comment was excluding nutraceuticals is what you're saying.
Excluding nutraceuticals. Yes.
Rajesh, hello. Let's just quickly take a stab at the answer. See what food business, just quickly, it will take 30 seconds. 2400 crores is the overall segmental revenue of the food. This includes the acquired business of food from Patanjali. This includes the earlier food business that we have under the Nutrella brand, Nutrella and oil and the soya buddy and the honey and atta, etc. This includes 400 crores. So that segment is 1600 crores. Then nutraceuticals separately is 400 crores, which is part of the foods overall 2400 crores. Biscuits is about 350 crores. This totals up to 2400 crores as overall basis.
Yes.
Your second question was that the sustainability of both the revenues and the margins on this. I mentioned that we were aided by two big events. One was Diwali. It was getting celebrated for the first time after a longish gap with the full gusto. So that was a huge benefit that we had, and a lot of pricing benefit that the company had. And similarly, the sales bump that we got, a one-time bump in the new channels that opened up, that gave us a huge benefit. So to answer your question specifically, that overall margin of 25.9% or thereabout that we have on the foods business, will this be sustained? Probably the answer is that it will be a huge challenge to maintain this kind of momentum that will be there. So there will be some tapering off, and I think we should get back to about 15 to 18% margin run rate. What we had originally mentioned also is typically it could go to 20% also, but broadly that will be the margin rate at which we'll run between 18 to 20%, depending on a particular quarter. So, but we should have that run rate on the business.
Right. So just a clarification over here. So the Patanjali's acquired edible oil business, the edible oil business that was part of Patanjali's portfolio, is that included in this food segment?
No.
Or we add it?
No, it's included in that.
It's included in the food segment.
Yeah. This is only food, sir. This is only food.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oil has been included in the oil segments.
No, what I was saying that when we acquired about 4,000 crores of Patanjali's foods business, so there was some component around 30-35% of edible oil.
That edible oil is included in the oil segment in the current quarter as per segment
that
reporting.
That is what I
was. Yes.
Got it. I'll get back in the people for the questions. Thank you.
We have the next question from the line of Bharat Shah from Ask Investment Managers. Please go ahead.
Mr. Astad, as you mentioned about distribution and new sales channel initiatives, so if you can throw light on the same.
Yeah, so these are, the Patanjali has a very large base of yoga karyakartas, the direct channels who have got direct access, direct to the consumers. So there's a lot of effort which is going on in two areas, especially on the foods and nutraceuticals. That, going through the traditional channels is obviously a route which is available, but also building that channel up to push for sales directly to the consumer, since they interact. This number is, and if my number is right, is almost 1 lakh plus are the number of people who directly interact and interface with a very large base of, consumers themselves, who are followers of, everything that Patanjali does. And so that is the new channel which I was mentioning.
Okay. And on the edible oil you mentioned is on 30th September mark-to-market losses. So I presume these are inventory losses that have occurred. But not realized. These are unrealized losses on inventory, which have been reflected in the accounts.
That's correct.
So I presume the unrealized gain in the subsequent quarter obviously will not be part of accounting treatment. It has been, but those losses are really notional losses in a sense that these are inventory losses. The actual gain or whatever, sustained in the current quarter, will be function of actual sales.
That's right.
Okay. Thank you, Ashwin.
Thank you.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Ketan Gindoria from Alpha Accurate Advisors. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir, and congratulations to the entire team for excellent set of numbers. Sir, two questions. Firstly, can you help me again with the margin on the acquired food business, the 1600 crore revenue?
Yeah, Rajeshji.
1500 acquired food business from PAL, you can say. Patanjali Ayurveda Limited.
Yes.
So the acquired food business from PAL in the current quarter contributes revenue of 1241 crores. And hello.
Yes.
Are you getting me?
Yes.
And after including honey and data and TSP and Bari, this is near about 1600 crores and contributes a margin of 460 crores.
Got it, sir. And yes. Just wanted to understand about what is the corresponding number of revenue in the previous year for this acquired business, and just wanted to know what is the growth in the acquired business compared to last year.
See, previous year it was not a part of our
right.
Company.
I understand.
This was in the segment of Patanjali Ayurveda Limited. But the overall run rate of these acquired food business, including Nutella oil, for a year was near about 4,000 crores. So run rate is 1,000 crores per quarter.
Okay, got it. So near about 25% growth is what you are saying?
Yeah. That has been explained by Sri Asthana sir earlier, just due to the seasonal factor and due to the festive season and so much of new initiative of sales channel, etc.
Okay, got it. Thank you so much and all the best.
Thank you.
We have the next question from the line of Ajay Sharma from Maybank Asset Management. Please go ahead. Mr. Sharma?
I wanted to check for this 1241 crore sales, right? What was the EBITDA corresponding to that?
Yes, same year of 25.5% as explained by Yastana sir.
Okay, so when this was supposed to be acquired, the EBITDA was 15%, which is now 25%.
15 to 20%. It was at that point of time. Yeah, 16% near about.
I think it was around 600 crore on turnover of 4,000 crore, right?
Yeah.
I'm just wondering. Astaniji did say something about festive and all that, but what explains the margin expansion from 15-16% to 25%? Is that like a one-off benefit on the raw material side or what basically?
Yeah, so two things, just to, Rajeshji, I'll just take that.
Yes.
We got a big benefit on the ability to pass on at a premium to the consumer because Diwali demand was exponential this year. And in last 3 years were unprecedented. It was just opening up, number one. Number two, some of the work of the direct channel opening up, that gave a big benefit. To answer your question again, that I think the ability to sustain this margin at this level may not be there. But certainly, our effort is that our run rate and margin construct of anywhere from 15 to, typically when we acquire, to maintain a run rate of, closer to 17 to 18% is what the effort is. And I'm reasonably confident that, this we should be able to accomplish because it's a blend of nutraceuticals, which is a higher margin business, and the foods business, where we have shown, healthy start to the quarter. So we should be able to maintain that. I mean, it was 15% when we acquired, from Patanjali, but we should hit closer to, effort is to take it closer to 18%. And that is the work which we do. But to maintain, this rate of 25% plus will perhaps be a challenge.
Okay, thanks for that. And just on the oil side, right, you said there was a 200 crore loss which happened during the quarter. So that is actually a realized loss, right?
Yes, it's a realized loss.
Yes, yes.
Okay, so how do you recover that loss, or is it gone basically? Is it a miscalculation on your part to have those high cost inventory which you had to sell, or the price crashed too fast for your liking basically? So the that loss is gone basically, right? You can't recover that one.
So just a small thing I wanted to mention, that A, it was not a miscalculation. I mentioned the set of events and the suddenness with which this volatility happened. So there are two bits to it. One is that in terms of recovering the loss, there is a good window available that it could happen. But committing to say that we will precisely recover this entire 200 crores, which is already booked, would be a little exaggeration. But the effort is that, as I mentioned earlier, the 250 crores of loss on the, or the mark to market, the, something which is there on the inventory valuation, as I mentioned, that we are better off, way better than that current number. And of 250 crores. So our effort is entirely that we will make the best effort to recover it. And that effort is pretty much on. Now, it will be subject to multiple things coming into the play. And that way, management is working, the sales team is working, our procurement team continues to work and work aggressively. So we'll certainly make our best effort will be to see that how do we recover that lost, the profit on the edible oil front.
Okay, just the last question. So normally you were making 4-5% margin on the edible oil side. So is that the endeavor to go back to those kind of levels?
Yeah. You know, so we always maintain that our typical margin on these businesses is about between 2-4%, and where we, on account of the good brand and distribution that we have, we were closer to 4%. That was a clear-cut objective with the management has. And so 5 will be perhaps on the higher side. But 4%, certainly that's an objective that we have, and we want to work towards it.
Okay, and the last bit on the operating cash flow was negative. So any reasons for that?
Rajiji?
Hello. Actually, by introduction of food business, we have given some credit to the customers also. So that's why it was negative at that point of time. Currently, it has been recovered.
Okay, so for a full year basis, it should be positive, right?
Yeah, obviously.
Okay, thank you so much.
Thank you.
A reminder to all the participants, anyone who wishes to ask a question may please press star and one now. We have the next follow-up question from the line of Bharat Shah from ASK Investment Managers. Please go ahead.
Ashanaji, I'm a little bit confused on the oil business. 200 crore was actually realized losses and about 250 crore of unrealized mark-to-market losses, right?
Yes.
Okay. Because in the sequence of the previous questions, I was a bit unclear. So about...
That's the exact breakup, yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Saurabh Jalan from SG Capital. Please go ahead.
Good morning, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. Sir, my question is regarding the different business segments. Sir, if you look at the food and nutraceutical business, it is much more stable and has better margin, and there is visibility of growth and consistency. But if you look at the edible oil business, sir, it has an inherent volatility due to macro factors, government policies of the exporting countries of CPO. So, sir, have you given any thought to demerge these two businesses? Because at the current rate, it seems that food and nutraceutical business can itself generate a PAT of around 1500 to 2000 crore in the next 1-2 years. So, sir, the inherent volatility of the edible oil business is hampering the valuation which food and nutraceutical business should command in the market. So, sir, have you given any thought to demerge this edible oil business from the food and nutraceutical business?
So right now there is no sort of thought and no such ideas we have, because we have great strength in the distribution, and these businesses of food and nutraceuticals also benefit immensely from the oil business also that we have. And the synergies between the businesses, the synergies between the teams, the cost structure that we are able to maintain, and the infra that we have, it's a good business. So there might be volatility, but in terms of the return on capital and the number of times we can rotate the capital on the edible oil business is pretty healthy. Our effort has to be, if we can rotate this capital just even 6 times a year, and we make on an average, let's say 4% margin, you're talking of 24% return. So there is no sort of requirement at this stage. We don't feel any compelling reason. That's one. And second is Patanjali Foods. Edible oil is a very critical and important segment. We'd like to retain that and grow that.
Okay. Okay, sir. And sir, one more question regarding trade receivables. Sir, as per the year ending 31st March 2022, the figure was 796 crores and it has gone to around 2000 crores as on 30th September 2022. So, sir, which segment of the business contributed to this more than 1200 crore increment in trade receivables?
Rajji?
Somewhere oil business, and major contribution is from food business, since it has gone to the consumer market directly. So we must have to extended some credits to our distributors and super distributors. That's right.
And sir, this is the reason why our cash flow from operation was negative.
Obviously. Yes. That's right. Okay. On an overall basis, it will be positive.
So, if for the year ending FY23, we expect to reach the positive figure year.
Yeah.
Okay, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Ankush Agarwal from Soch Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thank you for the follow-up. So again, on the receivable. So, this increased credit rate that we have offered, so is it a one-time thing, and in the coming quarters we would be reducing that credit period, or do you expect this to sustain for more?
Some of the amount may be sustained for a year, because
not the amount, obviously our food business itself has grown substantially, so the amount, I'm not talking about loan, but the kind of credit period. So as you have alluded that due to the festive season and the first time that you're distributing these products, you have to offer the higher credit period. Over time, as you settle down, do you expect to reduce this credit period, or do you expect to sustain for a couple of more quarters?
No. It will be recovered within the last quarter of this financial year. But obviously, we must have to extend some credit period to the to our distributor and super distributor as compared to the oil businesses. Oil businesses credit period is obviously somewhere less as compared to the food business. So somewhere
what is the typical credit period between for the oil business and for the food business?
Sorry, I couldn't get.
What is the typical credit period for the oil business and for the food business that you offer?
See, food business near about one and a half month we have given, but oil business it is almost 20 to 25 days.
Okay, and this credit period in the food business, you expect it to come down going ahead, right?
Maybe come down, depend upon the business scenario.
Okay. Second question is on for the Sanjeev sir. For the coils business, so this quarter was obviously a lot of one-off, but now since the price is relatively stabilized, so from Q3 onwards, do we expect a stable business in the oils?
Yes. No, I don't anticipate any big challenge. I think the volatility witnessed was unprecedented, but I think this quarter looks reasonable and positive. And likewise, next quarter should also be reasonably positive. But we should be pretty much consistent on our business run rate and the profit targets.
Right. So, Sanjeev, typically, based on your experience, the way business is structured, what kind of volatility in the prices the business can manage? Like, obviously, 50% is something that is unmanageable, but like 10% volatility here and there, is that manageable, or do you have some kind of range on that?
No, I think that's a very good question. So, at least the capacity of business, as I mentioned to you, for example, that a business which typically earns 4% margin, that capacity to deal with the volatility bit, typically if the price movement is anywhere between 4 to 8% or 7%, that's easy to manage. Anything more than that, and which is very sudden in nature. So, our ability to manage on a long-term trends basis where the prices head lower or higher is much easier. Sudden movement in the policy decisions, some of the previous questions that asked that, the questioner, that sudden policy change, sudden, situation like a war breaks out, suddenly lockdown on accounts of COVID. I mean, these are events which are almost impossible to predict and impossible to manage. So if you do not have such unforeseen events, happening, then our ability to manage the business effectively is much greater.
Right. So now, what is the kind of typical inventory that we carry, like in terms of days in the oil business?
Yeah, so what will what happens is that, our sales is typically about, 4.5 lakh tons a quarter. And it's actually increasing quite in a healthy way. So we are doing well on that front. Typically, the cycle time, as I mentioned earlier, that we've got three ways in which the purchases are done. One is the purchase that you do, which is still sitting with the supplier, then the afloat parcels, and the physical inventory. So in terms of the physical inventory, typically we would have between 15 to 25 days, depending on the vessel arrivals and how it works. Between the purchase and the afloat parcels, it should add up to, so for example, in Soya and Sun, the typical purchase, afloat and physical would be about 45 to 50 days. In case of Palm, the inventory cycle is way shorter, so typically we would have about a month. So net-net for about, I would say on a blended basis on this 4.5 lakh tons, typically we would have about 2 to 2.2 lakh tons is what we would have in the books.
Basically, 1.5 month kind of
thing. A month and a half, and that also, as I mentioned, that this is a physical part of the business, cash, what we call cash. Then we would hedge also against that, and how much we decide to hedge, to what extent we should hedge, that's a decision which the traders and the purchase section have to take regularly, basis the market situation as they emerge.
Okay. Got it. That was really helpful. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Kuldeep Gangwar from Ask Investment Manager. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hello, good morning.
Good morning.
Yeah. So, first thing, like in edible oil business, what was the volume growth? Because the price element is leading to a sales growth number, but what was the volume growth which should be observed at even in time to come, in, say, the coming quarters or years?
So volume-wise, our growth has been about, we used to have a run rate of typically about 1,25,000 to 1,35,000 tons a month overall. Now we are clocking about 1.5 lakh tons a month. Certainly October was a record month. So the only issue that, in terms of maintaining, so our purpose is not to sell volumes at any cost. Our purpose is that it has to be sold profitably, sensibly, and distribution-led. But we believe that we would not like to go back now, and we would certainly maintain 4.5 lakh tons a quarter, and we would possibly take it higher, between 5 to 6% growth. We should consistently maintain on top of that.
So in this quarter, volume growth YOY would be close to 10%. Is it correct understanding?
In this quarter, third quarter, we should be able to do close to about 5 to 7% growth is what we should get over 4.5 lakh tons. So my estimation is, and again, I'm just one small correction. I'm saying that we got off a massive spike in purchases in Diwali, across the board for everything. So that I think we should do this quarter. We should again be able to match it to 4.5 lakh tons, and maybe some growth in that.
No, I was saying about Q2. Q2, it was YOY, say 10% plus volume growth.
It was more than 10%. It was more than 10%.
Okay. And second part, food business, what should be the growth expectation in, say, coming quarters or years, a run rate basis?
Foods minus the Nutrella and earlier thing what we had, the purely the acquired part of the business that we're speaking about, when we took over that business, it had the run rate of about 1,000 crores a quarter. Our target is that we should be able to grow that between 10 to 15% consistently over that. As we mentioned earlier, that the foods the last quarter because of the early stage sector which was there, but our expectation is that 15% growth typically should mean to adding about 600 crores to the revenue is what our minimum objective should be, and possibly even more.
Okay, and last bit, trades payable have also increased significantly. So is it because of the food business you are getting some benefit vis-a-vis March 22 to September 22?
Yeah, so on the specific numbers, Rajeshji, on the trade payable side, if you can answer this question, please.
Yeah, obviously. For the food business, obviously, we are getting. I had already explained earlier that some credit, obviously, we would extend for the food business. This is the nature of the business. Accordingly, we got a trade payables also, credit from the suppliers also.
Okay, sure. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Ketan Gindoria from Alpha Accurate Advisors.
Hello.
Proceed. Mr. Gindoria, I would request you to use your handset, please. There is a disturbance on your line.
Hello. Yes.
Yes, please proceed.
Thank you for the follow-up question. Just wanted to understand about the nutraceutical business. So this quarter we have done around 400 crores of revenue with 35% margin. So is this like now the new quarterly run rate for the nutraceutical business, considering the last year revenue base was very small? What kind of revenue are you looking for for nutraceutical segments for this year and next year?
So nutraceuticals, we have this current, the last quarter was obviously a very bumper quarter. It was aided by, several steps, including, as we mentioned earlier, that, direct channel sales opening up. So we are reasonably confident that, we want to maintain a run rate of 10 to 15% growth. Market is growing almost at 20% and over and above the market rate. So we should be in a very healthy footing. Directionally, nutraceutical business, maintaining the current quarter sales would be very difficult to accomplish. But I would imagine that nutraceutical business overall for this year, we should target anywhere between 700 to 800 crores of revenue.
Okay, got it, sir. And due to this direct channel opening up, what kind of revenue benefit did we get in this quarter? Because, the filling of the channel pipeline. Is there, if you could give any number of what sort of revenue came directly because of this?
Right now, in terms of distinguishing between this particular channel, because, we added almost... the specific number I'm unable to give right now, but I think we should have added at least 300 to 350 crores of business through the new channel that we opened up. We have to see, as I mentioned earlier also, that how best we are able to sustain the new channel on the growth. So initially, as happens in every business, there's a big push that is made through a new channel. And after that, the repeat orders, and as they follow through in this quarter, we would know exactly how it is. So hopefully, I think at the end of this quarter or maybe after the fourth quarter, we should have a much better perspective on how the business is going to go forward through the new channels.
Okay, got it. And lastly, sir, I just wanted to understand on the oil business. So this quarter, I understand because of the heavy volatility of the price movements, we had a loss. So from next quarter onwards, we should be going back to our normalized margin of 2-4%, or do you think there's still some time?
No, we should be able to go. I mean, that lag which was there in October, that is largely behind us. So now all the business that is occurring is at the same margin level. So we should be in a reasonably good position on that front.
Okay. And just one request, sir, if it's possible for the oil business, if you can give the, in the disclosures, quarterly volume numbers, because, that helps us understand the actual underlying volumes compared to the price movement.
Mm-hmm. Sure. I think that can certainly be done. And I would request Mr. Kumar Rajesh that we should work on that.
Okay. Okay. Thank you so much, sir. Thank you. All the best.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We have the next question from the line of Amit Dange from Autumn Investment. Please go ahead.
Hi, Sanjay sir. Can you throw a light on in terms of what's an absolute number of EBITDA we are expecting for 23 and 24, including food and non-food business? And what can be the in 24 also the EBITDA in absolute terms for the food business, if you can throw some light? Overall EBITDA and how much it's contributing from the food business?
So broadly, Amit, in terms of the next year, 23-24, our target is that we should have clearly, and that's an objective I'm laying out, that we should be in the range of 2200 to 2400 crores of EBITDA margin is what the company is targeting for next year.
And how much it will be contributed from food business, non-oil?
So food business, the non-oil part of that, I think we should be able to generate. The objective is, and without going into the specifics of, which business generates what, our objective is that the food business from the turnover perspective next year should be closer to, should be closer to about 25%. But from a margin contribution, should be about 50% of the company's profits.
Understood. And can you, sir, throw some light on the industry, how overall industry have done in the last two quarters or till December? Because there is a lot of volatility in the oil business
I was hoping that this discussion will come up. Because as you've seen that across the board, our significant competitors, our significant, people, the listed firms, as well as the unlisted firms, there's been a massive, problems they have faced exactly the way we have faced as well. And all of them on account of the volatility in the marketplace. The published results are there for everyone to sort of see as to how they got impacted. And including some of the purest play FMCG companies, they've had this challenge as well, in terms of dealing with the volatility. So pretty much everyone has been in the same boat, and the ability to manage this kind of externally driven volatility is very difficult to manage. So likewise, it has happened, but I think it's normalizing, and I'm expecting that certainly our business, because we've got a very strong orientation towards the foods business now. There's this healthy growth, there's new acquisitions have happened, there's a lot of good work on the new product development. On the distribution side, we continue to work actively on, building up a healthy pipeline of the new products on the nutraceutical side, on the food business. So that is evolving and developing. So I'm reasonably confident that, the one-off challenge with the industry at large phase and the world at large phase should be behind us. And we should be able to manage it more. So it's been a great learning also for everyone that these one-off events can occur. And, how we manage and deal with it should be one of the prime drivers in the way we look at the business and how we manage it. And this, incidentally, is not only us, even international players. Some of the largest commodity global players in ag and food businesses, they have faced a pretty much similar situation.
And sir, can you throw some light on foreign currency hedging policy of our company, how we managed to?
So we have, as I mentioned in the call, we have, you know, our hedge accounts both at BMD and Chicago. We are very prudent about not carrying large exposures, large position, but that is always subject to, you know, some of the calls that need to be taken as to what extent one wishes to hedge and what does not. So there's both a bit of, you know, some science to it in terms of the pure maths. We have a very strong, you know, board-driven policy. We have got value at risk. There is a daily mark-to-market tracking. There are weekly calls. There are hedges which are available. We use non, as you know, that Indian exchanges are banned right now. So clearly we have to rely on the international exchanges. But short of that, in terms of, you know, where we need to cut down our purchase, where we need to sell faster, how do we move things, you know, turn those around and churn the inventory faster, that bit is constantly on a bit. And so that we never allow, you know, that to get frittered away. And that is a work which will continue to sort of, we'll work on that and we're driving it. But it's very policy driven and not, you know, just you take a, make a purchase and sales decision just like that.
Understood. Sir, just last thing, can you throw some light on December quarter, Q3, any expected loss of inventory is possible? Any idea on that side?
No, not at all. I'm not expecting any inventory loss at all. In fact, if at all, as I mentioned maybe a few times on this call, that we should be moving towards a better path. And so there's no question of any further inventory loss for the balance of the quarter.
Okay, that's it from my side. Thank you.
Good. Thank you.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Dheeraj Mistry from Antique Stock Broking. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, Dheeraj. So my question is regarding, you said that you had a turnover of almost 350 crore from biscuits. So what kind of margin you made in biscuits business?
So biscuits typically, you know, our margin construct is 8 to 10%. Last quarter especially, we had this again because of high commodity prices on all three. You know, the sugar was stable, but oil and wheat prices were high. So that's why it got impacted. But last quarter, to answer your question specifically, we made 5.5% margin on that. But typically, it's about 10% business.
Okay. And you, in your opening comments, you mentioned that the oleochemical has come into FMCG and other segments. So what is the contribution of oleochemical in this this quarter?
Rajesh ji can answer that, but it's very, very small. It's insignificant. It's got, by the way, little relevance to the overall scheme of things.
Very small. This is just 40-odd crores, oleochemical, soap noodles, etc. 40-odd crores.
Okay. So just to reconcile on the FMCG revenue, the 1600 crore which you said, it's a kind of acquired business. This is the acquired business we did in the July month, or is it include other businesses also?
No, this is completely takeover from the Patanjali Ayurveda Limited from the July month.
Huh? Okay, that is 1600 crore.
Yeah. 1600 includes honey and data, which has been which we are carrying over from past also. And it includes 170 crores of our soya body, traditional food business of Ruchi Soya.
Nutrella brand.
Yes. Okay. So 1241 is pure acquired business from the Patanjali Ayurveda Limited since July.
Okay.
Yeah, 1240.
Okay, got it. Thank you.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of R. Kothari from GC Holdings. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Mr. Asthana and Mr. Rajesh, I think it's been a mixed quarter, and I think it's been a very volatile quarter, and
yeah.
I understand the reason why the inventory losses came, but I would like to touch upon the food business. And how do you view, is the way we look at the business that that the segment has about 2,700 crores of capital employed, against which you have a segment liability of close to 1,300 crores. So the way my maths work is that there is a net capital employed of 1,400 crores in your food business. If you see the current quarter, the EBITDA is in the range of 600 odd crores. Maybe this is an exceptional quarter, and if you normalize it to more like 450 crores of EBITDA and multiply that by 4, it's still a 1,500 to 1,800 crores EBITDA business this year on a run rate basis. So the way I look at it is this a 100% ROCE business, this food business, on a net capital employed, and therefore I want to know the expected cash flow, because if this is the construct, then at some point when the trade payables and trade receivables normalize, this business post-tax has the ability of throwing up 800 to 1,000 crores of free cash. So if you can answer to both these questions.
Kalushi. Rajesh ji?
Rajesh sir, please unmute yourself.
Yeah. So Rajesh ji, just I would like to mention here, this business is acquired first time and we are doing this business first time here. So our debtors and creditors position relating to food business has been increased. So that contributes to the overall capital employed. And it will be normalized in due course. Obviously, I was also mentioned in this call earlier that by end of this year it will be normalized, but some capital employed obviously will be there due to nature of this business. We must have to extend some credits, or so obviously correspondingly we got a credit from the suppliers and vendors also. As far as free cash flow is concerned, obviously we will get it by end of this financial year.
So, Mr. Rajesh, my question was that is it a 100% ROC business as it optically looks?
Sir, this time, actually, this quarter is an exceptional quarter for food business. No. So, due to the festive season and all, and due to the margin construct as explained by Astana sir earlier, that's why this margin has been come up in this quarter. As Astana sir said earlier, this margin will not be sustained for forever. Obviously, it will be between 15 to 20%, 17 to 20%. Then it will be normalized.
So, sir, even at 17 to 18%, you generate a quarterly EBITDA of closer to 450 crores. I'm not talking of 620. Even at 450 crores, the return on capital employed is close to 100%, and it looks to be a highly profitable and a robust business. And I
see, sir.
Confirm whether what we are thinking is correct or not, optically and factually.
Sir, basically you are correct. Basically, we got this business on a very less pricing. Na? We got this whole food business on a price of 690 crores. So as far as fixed capital is concerned, this is very, very, very much less.
Okay.
So this is the one of the reason, no?
Yeah.
I'll answer that question. The two sides. One is in terms of the profitability of the business and the growth. The high margin, very consistent business with predictable profitability. We have got a tremendous opportunity.
Yes.
And with the acquisition of food business, with some of the most marquee brands that we have, on Nutrella, on foods and other businesses, we are very, very comfortable in maintaining, not only the growth trends, but also driving the volumes and building it up. I've already mentioned that on the revenue side, our target is at least 15 to 20% year-on-year growth. On margin construct, we mentioned earlier that this was a business that we took over at 15% margin. We want to bump it up to closer to 18%. And if we can maintain this run rate, if we can maintain this thing, and there's a reasonable confidence that we'll be able to accomplish all this, then this business can be a very big cash generator for the company overall.
Yeah. Perfect. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, due to time constraint, that was the last question that the management could answer. I would now like to hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
Thank you. And first of all, my sincere thanks to all the investors who joined the call today. I'll just basically summarize, you know, with a couple of key points to leave you all with. Number one, I'll address the more difficult part of the equation, that in terms of the, you know, what we do, how do we manage the oil business? We have got very strong covenants around the hedging policy, hedging strategy. So the company, you know, follows that strictly as to all the controls which a world-class system has. We all have very good backgrounds from all these companies, and we have demonstrated that earlier, and this exactly will be maintained. So whether it's the daily tracking of mark-to-market, whether it's value at risk, all the basic ingredients of what a world-class policy ought to work, which is very much there in the company. The second point I want to mention on the oil business, that one-off events in a particular quarter, which were unprecedented in scale and you know, suddenness, that has had an impact on the company's bottom line, which we are absolutely certain that which will not repeat themselves again. Of course, one cannot ever predict future as to how this will go. But an event which has not occurred for 20 years or series of events happening at the same time, there is no likelihood that they will recur again. So we are pretty confident on what we do and how we go about it. And my third piece is that the company from a distribution perspective on the oil side, from the purchasing side, from the infrastructure side, we are one of the top companies in terms of the well-invested supply chain infrastructure, processing infrastructure, distribution infrastructure, and an outstanding team which is in place on the sales, purchase, and supply chain side. And we are pretty confident that you know, these events, there's a very strong capability which the company has to be able to manage it and drive it. That's on the oil business side. On the food business, we have had an exceptional quarter. While this may or may not happen, we will continue to work on it in terms of building it up and grow that. And without a question, while there will be some tapering off on account of the Diwali, you know, sort of one-off bump that we got, but we'll continue to manage it effectively, and we are reasonably confident of all the guidance that has been given earlier, we should be able to maintain that. And our third piece is that in the newer area, which did not get discussed, whether massive work on the oil plantation side, the work that we're doing in terms of the expansion of newer products, the strength that we have on, you know, putting all the nuts and bolts in places, of hiring all the, you know, the missing positions of the business heads and leaders in place, that all has been worked out. And we are very confident that we'll be able to, you know, turn this company exactly in what the performance in the previous has been, and we should be able to meet that performance. So with those words, I thank you all again, and we will get on with our business. And we will continue to work and make sure that we are meeting all the objectives as has been laid out in the earlier discussions and even today as well. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
On behalf of Antique Stock Broking, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your line.